Thank you, Father. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Father God, for your love, for your cross. And we come this morning to see the glorious cross. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Right? Welcome. Welcome to the final session on the seven last words. And these were the seven last words of Jesus, or the sayings of Jesus that we have been looking at. And today we plan to look at the final two sayings of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So we should remember that these words of Jesus was said when he was hanging on three nails. So it wasn't some insignificant words that he just said when he was on the cross. But these words are rich in meaning and purpose. So it's a privilege to actually look at what Jesus meant when he said, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." So, just to recap what we have done so far, on Tuesday we actually saw a compassionate Jesus crying out to God, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." This was the same time we saw the soldiers were actually crucifying him and casting out lots for his garments. And then on Wednesday, we saw a Jesus in the last moments of his earthly life on the cross, not only offering eternal security to those who believe, but also taking care of earthly provision. He looked to his mother Mary and John and entrusts Mary's responsibility to John. And then yesterday we saw the manhood of Jesus revealed. Jesus was taking the full weight of sin upon himself. And the only time he calls his Father in heaven, my God, why have you forsaken me?" A true picture of the sacrificial lamb led to the slaughter. So the cross was gruesome. You know, the biblical records and the secular records say that Jesus was scourged. He was whipped, insulted, spat upon. His beard was plucked. And the crown of thorns were pushed into his head. And we see Isaiah saying his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man. So the blood loss on the cross would have been great. But usually the victims of crucifixion die due to suffocation, the weight of the body crushing the ribs and choking the lungs. And as he was hanging on that cross, Jesus finally gave a loud shout, a final proclamation, and then he gives up his spirit. And John and Luke record these last words, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." So he was not a weary and tired, "Thank God it is finished," like some of us would say. But it was a triumphant, "Thank God," not "Thank God," but "It is finished." It was the same as an athlete who would run a marathon and come to the finish line and say, "It is finished." It marked an achievement, a declaration, and it was worth the pain and agony. So as Jesus died, he actually proclaims that he had finished an assignment which was given to him by God, and he was ready to commit his spirit back to God. But what was finished on the cross? What was his assignment in having to go through his gruesome death on the cross? Was his assignment just to experience human suffering, being able to relate to us better, experience humiliation, rejection, torture, death? Actually, Jesus tells us what his assignment was on the cross. And this is recorded in John chapter 17, where we see Jesus is praying for himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before he was arrested and crucified. So let's look at John chapter 17, verse 1. And it's on the screen here, if those who don't have a Bible with us. So, John chapter 17, verse 1. After Jesus had spoken these things, he looked up to heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come." So something had begun, and now the right time and the hour had come for it to be finished. In fact, Jesus, during his earthly ministry, at several occasions said, "My hour had not yet come." Well, during that time, Jesus was healing the sick. He was actually, the blind was receiving sight, the lame walked, the demon-possessed were set free, and even the dead were raised to life. The power of God was revealed through Jesus' ministry on earth. But the fulfillment of that revelation had not yet arrived. And now Jesus is saying that the finishing hour had finally arrived. So what was finished on that cross in that final finishing hour? Let's just read this verse again. After Jesus had spoken these things, he looked up to heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. So in the mind of Jesus, his assignment of dying on the cross was ultimate glorification. It was ultimate fulfillment of why he came on earth. But for the people who were around him, the Romans and the Jews, it should have been the complete opposite. For the Romans, crucifixion was not just an ultimate humiliation, but it also remains to be the most painful sort of slow death one could ever invent. And for the Jews, the Jewish law clearly stated was cursed a man who is hung upon a tree. So for the Jews, crucifixion was a sign of being cursed by God. But Jesus, on the way to the cross, is saying, "Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." So according to Jesus, God's glory was going to be revealed through the death on the cross. And Hebrews 2 verse 9 puts it right. It says, "God's Son was crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death." So the question still remains, how was the glory of God revealed through this horrific death on the cross? And to understand how this glory was revealed on the cross, we need to look at the meaning of the word glory. There are three prominent words associated for glory in the Bible. The Hebrew words kabod and shekinah, and the Greek word doxa. And these three words that describe the glory of God in the Bible is able to capture the multi-aspect, the multi-dimensional meaning of how the glory of God was revealed on the cross. So the plan to see how the glory was revealed is to look at these three words in turn. So first we're going to look at what does it mean by kabod. The Hebrew word kabod means to be heavy or weighty. And this means that God's glory is heavy, it's thick, it's rich, it's abundant. And on the cross of Jesus, the abundance and the weight of his glory was revealed in the midst of the curse of being hung on a tree. We see there was a divine exchange that happened. The weight of curse as a punishment for our sins was exchanged for the weight of glory. God did not send his Son just to take away the weight of sin, but also he actually replaced the weight of sin by the weight of his abundant glory, rich glory, And this is what we call amazing grace. So when we see that Jesus takes away the sin of the world, he actually replaces this sin by rich glory, rich abundant glory that's able to satisfy us now and in the future and also for the past sins that we have committed. So as the Bible says, because we are co-heirs with Christ, we have the same inheritance with Christ. So as we see Jesus glorified on the cross, we have access to this glory. We have access to this richness of grace. So the first point is that as we look to the cross, let us see this divine exchange of curse, not just for glory, but abundant glory. Now, the cross is a visual manifestation of God's earthly as well as eternal provision for our life. So the richness of grace was revealed on the cross. Next, we're going to look at the word Shekinah. Another aspect of glory of God that was revealed on the cross. And the Hebrew word Shekinah means the one who dwells. And in this sense, the glory is a dwelling place of God and is very much connected to the presence of God. So in the Old Testament, God appeared to people of Israel in a pillar of cloud or fire. And when Moses entered the tent of meeting or the tabernacle to meet with God, the cloud of God descended on the tent and Moses came face to face with the presence of God and he spoke with him. In those days, the glory dwelt in a tabernacle. And then it dwelt in a temple. The glory of God was not approachable by common man. And the temple had a thick curtain. A veil had to be placed to separate the Holy of Holies from the other parts of the temple. And it wasn't just a flimsy piece of curtain. The historical records say that this curtain that veiled the glory of God from the other parts of the temple was 60 feet long, 30 feet wide, and several inches thick. It was dense material with a thread count that was very high. And also gold and silver threads were kind of weaved through braided through this curtain, making it very heavy. And this curtain was so thick and heavy that 300 priests had to carry it. And we see that the glory of God was hidden away from the people behind this heavy curtain. And the only people or the only person that was allowed to enter into this Holy of Holies was the high priest. And that was only once a year on the Day of Atonement. Man could not approach God directly. But when Jesus was glorified on the cross, the Shekinah glory of God was revealed. The dwelling place was opened. When Jesus said, "It is finished," the separation between God and man is finished. The dwelling place of God has now been opened for everyone. And we can now live a life knowing God intimately forever and ever. You know, the Gospels say that the curtain of the temple that separated the Holy of Holies was torn from the top to the bottom. The glory of God is now revealed to all mankind. No matter we accept him or we don't accept him. And it's interesting to see that it is God who made a way so that he can come and dwell with us rather than we trying to initiate this. Well, we cannot initiate it and we are powerless to initiate it. Romans 5:8 says, "This is how God demonstrates his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So God initiated to come and dwell with us, not that we initiated to find a dwelling place with him. So on the cross, when the Shekinah glory of God was revealed, the dwelling place of God was opened. And eternal life, that's a life with God, was and still is on offer. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the cross should be a place that we would see and find that God, find the dwelling place of God. And as we will see in the next one, doxa, the radiance of his glory would dwell, will come upon us if we actually accept to come and dwell with him. So this Easter, when we look at Jesus hanging on the cross, let us remember that God wants to come and dwell with us. He's interested in every affair of our life. He has opened the dwelling place so that we can now come and live with him. The third dimension to understanding the glory of God that was revealed on the cross can be seen in the Greek word doxa. And doxa means splendid or splendor. It means good reputation, majesty, renown, dignity. Although the crucifixion was kind of designed to be humiliating and shameful, yet in the midst of all this, Jesus' dignity and majesty was revealed. Even the centurion, who was a Roman soldier or a Roman officer, whose job was to make sure that the sentence of Jesus was carried out properly, saw the glory of Jesus. The Bible says that he saw what had happened at the cross and glorified God. And he exclaimed, "Surely this man was the Son of God." So this centurion, he was a Roman soldier. He must have actually presided over lots of crucifixions. And as a Roman citizen, presumably he had no interest in the Jewish Messiah. Yet when he saw the glory of God revealed, the Shekinah glory of God revealed, he did not but cry out, "Surely this man was the Son of God." So God opened the eyes of a centurion to see the true glory and the honor of the Son Jesus, who was revealed in a perfect sacrifice on the cross. And we see Philippians 2 verse 8 and 9 says, "He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every other name." God revealed a good reputation, a renown for the name of Jesus. And remember, he humbled himself, therefore God exalted him to the highest place. So on the cross, when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and committed the Spirit back to the Father, God honored his obedience and exalted his name above every other name. And on the cross, as he got glorified, his name was exalted. His authority, all authority, was given to him. And the beauty is that we are co-heirs with Christ. That means when we come to God, we carry his name. We carry the name of Jesus. So this is what Jesus said after his resurrection, when he was giving the great commission to his disciples. Mark 16, verse 17 and 18. "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. And they will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." I remember this verse when I had swine flu, when I first came to Durham. And I came from London thinking the swine flu is in London, so I can come to Durham and be safe. And new germs, you know, new germs in Durham. So, and we didn't go to a church at that time. And I remember Joy, because my temperature went to about 105, 106. It was very high and it wasn't going down. Joy praying this over me, you know, "When you will drink deadly poison, it will not hurt you." You know, I remember this vividly. And during the time, because we just came here, we didn't really know anyone or didn't join a church. One of my friends called me from the other church, and I told him I was ill, I had swine flu, and he said, "Okay, I will," and then he texted back saying, "Oh, I've emailed 5 people at church and they're praying for you." And so we waited for the ambulance to come and to see a doctor finally, after lots of persuasion of now 999, Then the pastor of my previous church called me and said, "Brother, what happened? Let me just pray for you." And he just said, "You know, we call upon the name of the Father, or we call upon the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead." And I just started to sweat. I just started to completely just sweat. Standing there, I just saw myself sweating. And Joy went and got a towel, and he just kept praying. But all he said was, we call upon the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And I started to sweat. And after that, well, I was pretty good, you know, it was completely sweaty. The ambulance came and said, "We should go to the doctor, you know, we should, you know, show everyone that, you know, Jesus had healed." And the doctor looked here, you know, all kinds of temperature, and everything was normal. It was on a Saturday, about 1 o'clock, and the ambulance was not there, there was no taxis. So I walked home from the university hospital to Newton Hall. And it was amazing. It was just amazing because I was there, you know, in the midst of this, thinking, "Oh, what will happen to me? You know, I need to get some drugs." And I wasn't driving because we came from London. Joy wasn't driving. We didn't have a car. It was snowing, thick snow. So it was all against us. But the answer came in the form of Jesus. The answer came in the form of a prayer that called upon the Spirit of God to come and rescue us. And that was the glory that was revealed. The name that was exalted on the cross healed my swine flu. It was in the name of Jesus that I was healed. So getting going back to my notes. So what do we glory in? That is the next question. You know, do we glory because, you know, when we pray for people, they get healed? Or in our churches, we pray for people and they get healed? What do we glory in? Do we glory in all the perks that come with the name of Jesus? Do we glory because we drive out demons in the name of Jesus? Well, I have done. Do we glory because we are able to spend, you know, share the gospel to our friends and family and they respond? Well, Paul, who was a New Christian or a New Testament Christian, says this in Galatians 4. Well, Galatians 6 verse 14. "But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." And I just want to say that, you know, we should glory in the cross, not in what we have done, not in, you know, what we have achieved. And Paul actually had a lot to glory in. He actually had a dramatic conversion. He was directly called by Jesus. He had dramatic visions, including the one in which he was raised up to the third heaven. He actually healed the sick and raised the dead. Even the handkerchiefs that he had touched would be used to heal the sick and cast out evil spirits. He preached the gospel to the unreached, and many came to Christ. And he suffered for Christ more than anyone else. He was flogged, he was imprisoned, and he was exposed to death again and again. So he had a lot to glory in. But yet, he says, "God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." And that's the abandonment that we should experience when we see the cross of Christ. So this Easter, as we look at the cross of Jesus, let us glory in it. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he wants us to see the cross as a place where he was exalted. He was glorified, and not a place where he was helpless and where he was killed. You know, the hymn writer says, "Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood." So when we look at the cross this Friday, there's a reason why we call it Good Friday. Christ was glorified on the cross. The riches of grace was revealed. A divine exchange happened. The curse of sin was exchanged, not just for grace, but abundant grace. The dwelling place of God was opened. We did not initiate it. He initiated it. We can now know God directly through knowing Jesus. Eternal life which is life with God, is on offer now. And through the obedience on the cross, Jesus' name was exalted over every other name. And we have the honor and the privilege to carry this name of Jesus. Jesus said, "It is finished." And he was glorified. So let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you, God, that it is finished, that we don't have to work at all. Thank you, God, that it is finished and you were glorified. Thank you, God, that we can come to the cross as sinners, because when we were still sinners, you died for us. We don't have to come prepped up. We don't have to come by achieving something. We have to come in our nothingness, because the glory was revealed on that cross when you died for us. And we want to thank you, God, that we have nothing else to boast when we see the cross. Absolutely nothing to boast. When we see that cross, help us to say, like what Paul said, "Forbid it, Lord, that I should glory except in the Christ, in the cross of our Christ, my God." We want to thank you, God, that today is a good Friday. A good Friday where you got glorified on the cross. And as we see you glorified, we pray that help us to understand the privilege we have, the authority we have in your name, the inheritance we have in your name. The glory that was revealed on the cross is our inheritance. We have his dwelling place. We have his righteousness. We have his richness of grace. Thank you, God.